We'll be beginning on Daf Lamed Ches Omid Beis, Maseches Bofa Basra, three lines from the bottom. By way of introduction to this first sugya, we'll take a look at the nosei that we have written on the side, the outside of your margin. In the Shas Ozer Pre-Mark Gemara edition, we attempt to feature introductory notes and structural explanations under the headings of nosei and vneh, vneh being structure. Here the nosei heading says, Mahu toichen nuscha shel macho. What's the content or the language of a macho sheneemar shelo befonov? A macho that is said at a distance. It was a previous sugya we saw a discussion concerning the validity of a macho said at a distance. What is the content of such a macho? The Gemara opens up with that question, but bear in mind that the first comment that would appear to answer the question is going to be actually in the negative. In other words, the Gemara is going to ask, what is a macho? And then the Gemara is going to tell you what a macho is not. So the Gemara begins, Hechi domi macho. As we said, regarding a macho, shelo befonov. Omar Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid says, point Aleph, the first point, this is not a macho. Planyo gazlona hu, if the owner says that so-and-so is a gazlon, lo havya macho. We'll take a look at the Rashbam. Three lines from the bottom. Omar Rav Zvid, Omar Lisadi, a person told witnesses, Planyo gazlonahu, lo havya macho. Sheafilu im yomru edim loshon ze lamachzik. Even if the witnesses that heard this tell the occupier of the land this language, this text, lo osi lizdeure bishtore, he's not going to watch the sale document that he may have received. Deha lo yoda mai kori le gazlon shizoya bishtoro. He just hears word that so-and-so is calling him a name. Doesn't know why he's calling him that name. Continuing in the Gemara. Point Beis, the second point of Rav Zvid. Planyo gazlonehu deka'ochil lo la'aroi begazlanusa ulamochor tavano le ledina. If he says that, havyo macho, what is this? He says, so-and-so is a gazlan, and he's consuming, he's using my land in theft, and I'm gonna bring him to court of law tomorrow. Let us take a look at the Rashbam at the top, where you find a star. V'ilo Omar lemochar tavano le bedino umafik nomine. If he doesn't use that expression, Elo ploni gazlon. The ka'ochil la'aroi begazlanusa bilvad. He simply says that so and so is a thief, consuming my land in thievery. Hare hu kenoisein pagam bechavero. He's casting aspersions on his friend. Velo kemoser edus. And it's not considered that he's serving testimony, serving notice. The eino macho, kein pirush Rabbeinu Chananel. The Rashbam presents an alternative opinion under the number two heading that we have noted in the Rashbam, and it's a different approach, and we've dashed underlined a few lines later in that particular Rashbam. He presents a different opinion, whereby he says, "V'havia machof agav delo siem lemochar tavana lebedina," where the final expression of "tomorrow I'll bring court of justice" is not absolutely necessary. The first approach he gives is that it's important to include that language as well. Hence, in our marked editions, we have that included in the quotation marks as to what constitutes a machof. As the Gemara goes on, you notice at the end of the line a slash. That indicates that the next section is not directly related. It's a new point. Of course, under the general discussion of macha, we noted some geometric forms, triangles and double underlines, and it seems to present a rather consistent pattern in the Gemara, the triangles alternating in positioning, and the double underlines, as you scan down the page, you notice most of them are underlined Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. There'll be another name as we go on in the Gemara, though. The comment on the side, under the Mivneh heading, the triangle pointing up, Divrei HaMoicheh. Those are going to be the words of the protester, original owner. With the triangle pointing down, that will be what the witnesses, Divrei HaEdim Sheshoimim HaMocha, what the witnesses respond upon hearing the protest. The double underline, Hashitos B'chol Mikre U'Mikre, these are the opinions regarding each case. Let us continue in the Gemara itself now. Omar, a protester, said to witnesses, Lo Temrule, don't tell him, the occupier, this macho. So he says a macho, and he tells the witnesses, don't tell him. Mai, is that a good macho? Omar Azvid, Hokom Omar Lo Temrule. He said, don't tell them, it can't be a good macho. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa disagrees, and he says it is a good macho. That when he told the witnesses, don't tell him, L'didei lo temulei, don't tell the occupier, L'achrini imrulahu, however, tell others the macho, tell others the protest, and an institution we've seen before kicks in, Chavro chavro islei, Chavro de chavro chavro islei. Loosely translated, by word of mouth, it will get to him anyway. It will get to the occupier. The protest will get to the occupier anyway. Omrule, if the witnesses, upon hearing the macho, notice the triangle inverted. That's to serve notice that the speaker here is someone else, and as we indicated in the note on the side, this is the text of the content of the witnesses' statement. They said, "Lo amrinon lei." We are not going to tell the occupier what you just said. Omar Rav Zvid, ha ka amru lei, lo amrinon lei. Rav Zvid takes things at face value. He says, they said they're not going to say it, so it's not a good macho. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa, as we saw before, interprets what was said. L'didei lo amrinon lei, l'achrini amri lehu. What their intent is to say that we're not going to tell him, but we will tell others. And as we saw before, chavro chavro islei, chavro the chavro chavro islei. One has a friend, his friend tells his friend, and eventually by word of mouth it gets to the occupier, hence it is still a good protest. Omar Lehu, the protester, the original owner, says to the witnesses, Lo Tepuk Lehu Shuta. Shuta means dibur, speech. It means there shouldn't emanate from your mouths any talk about this. Omar Azvid, ha ka Omar, lo tepuk lechu shuta. It shouldn't emanate from mouth. And here it's not a function of to whom, it's to anybody. It shouldn't come forth from your mouth anything regarding this protest. So Rav Zvid rules, not surprisingly, that it's not a good macho. At this point, you don't see Rav Papa responding. Omru lei, the witnesses say, Lo mafkinon shuta, we are not going to say a word about this. Omar Rav Papa, And here's a little surprise. Rav Popa takes the approach that we've seen Rav Zvi take till now. Ha, ka'amri, lei, lo mafkin shuta. Well, they said they're not going to say a word about it, so it's not a good macha. Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua Amar. He feels it still is a good macha. Ko milsa de la ramya ole dinish. This is a principle that you find in other Gemaras as well. Things that have that do not have direct relevance to a particular individual, Omar lo valava daite. He's going to spew it forth. He's going to say it inadvertently, not thinking too much about it. In this case, the protest doesn't have direct concern to the witnesses that hear it. So even though they say, we're not saying a word about this, well, it's a matter that doesn't affect their daily living at all. So there's nothing really stopping them. They have no real built-in deterrent to just blurt it out at some point later. And that's what's meant by this expression, kol milsa de la ramya ole de inish, anything that's not directly relevant to a particular person, omar lo, he'll say it, velava date, not thinking about what he's saying, he'll blurt it out. It might be an Eitzah Tova over here, that when one wants to tell something that's of a personal nature to someone else, namely to the speaker, it's important that the word doesn't get out. But you're telling the information to someone to whom it has no relevance. So even though he might guarantee you, I won't tell anybody, won't say a word about it, but being that it's something that doesn't have direct relevance to him, he'll very likely, at some point later, inadvertently, blurt it out, and thereby ruining your request for privacy. Omar Rava, Omar Rav Nachman. Macho Shaloi Befonov Havyo Macho. This is a throwback to the topic from the previous daf. Rav Rava quotes Rav Nachman, saying that a macho done at a distance is a good macho, is acceptable. Esve Rava the Rav Nachman. Now Rava himself asks on Rav Nachman, quoting from a Tanaic source, our Mishnah, and this pre-marked Shas Ozir edition, Tanaic sources are framed, whether they be Mishnayos or Brises, etc. Omar Rav Yehuda, lo omru sholoi shonim elo kedei shiei baspamya viyachzik shona viyechu viyodiuhu shona viyovoi l'shona acheres. How does Rav Yehuda describe the 3 years? It allows enough time for an occupier to use the land and through his use thereby create a koil. By the end of the first year, the koil was created. So people in the area will have an opportunity to then carry the koil, to convey this information to the original owner, who might be a year's travel away. So it'll take the second year to travel to where the original owner is. And the third year will be enough time for the original owner to travel back to where his land is. We have underlined, with a dashed underline, the word viovo. The Gemara continues, v'isakadaitach macho shaloi b'fonav havya macho. If it were so that a long distance macho would be good, would be effective, lomale lemesi. Why is it important for him to come? You notice why we dashed underlined lemesi, because that's the main point of this discussion, the issue of coming to the face and to confront directly the occupier. Lesiv hasam aduchte, let him sit there in his duchte, in his place. Velimchi hasam, and issue his protest from far away. With this, we see the question that Rav opposes to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, who had said the macho shel b'funav is a good macho, from here we see that Rabbi Yehuda, who is a Tana, seems to hold otherwise. The Gemara answers that really a macho at a distance would be effective. So what's the reason for having him come to confront him personally? Eitzah tova kamash malan. It's a good piece of advice for him to come. Denesi v'nishkol ara uperi. With that, he'll be able to recover not only his land, but he'll be able to recover the fruits as well. Right? That's as opposed to simply serving notice at a distance, but in the meantime, how's he going to recover the fruits that the fellow consumed or that might still be there? The Gemara continues. Midekamoisiv lei Rava l'Rav Nachman. From the fact that Rava asked on Rav Nachman. So you might ask, where did Rava ask on Rav Nachman? So let's take advantage of the marvelous marking system that we have presented to you. Notice the arrows. The arrow here tells you scan the page to find a parallel arrow. And you'll notice on the line where the previous arrow exists, it said Esve Rava l'Rav Nachman, where Rava was asking on him. So from the fact that Rava asked on Rav Nachman, we dashed underline Rava because we're focusing on his particular opinion. Gemara says, Nichlal delo svira lei demachol shelo b'fonav havya machol. It must be that Rava does not hold that long distance machol is effective. Well, v'homa Rava, macho shelo b'fonav havya macho, but we know Rava to hold that a long distance macho is effective. In fact, this comment of Rava's we can find on Lamed Ches Omid Beis. We have noted here an asterisk. With Lamed Ches Omid Beis next to it, and that tells you to go back to that particular page, Lamed Ches Omid Beis, and you'll notice five lines from the bottom, in point number two, the speaker there happened to have been Rava, whose name is actually underlined just the line above that, where he says in point number two, Macho Shelo B'fonav Havya Macho. So how are we to resolve this seeming discrepancy? The Gemara answers that Rava developed his opinion, though it appeared on the previous Amid, that Machal Shel B'fonav is effective, after he heard it from Rav Nachman. Bosar D'Shama Me Rav Nachman Savra. After he heard it from Rav Nachman, then he accepted that. And that's what you saw on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. It was, even though it appears earlier in the text, it's really a function of something he had, an idea he had developed later on. We notice a period in the Gemara that indicates the end of that particular thought, and we start a new point. The topic heading on the side, the Nosei, features a machloikis amoroyim bifnei kamo oimrim es amacho, bifnei shnayim oishlosha. There's a machloikis amoroyim in front of how many does one say the protest? Is it in front of two? Is that sufficient? Namely, eidim? Or is it to be said in front of three? The significance of three, we'll see later in the Gemara. Ashkachinhu Rav Yosi Rabbi Chanina the Talmidav the Rabbi Yochanan. Ashkachinhu means he found them. Rav Yosi Rabbi Chanina met up with the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Omar lehu, mi Omar Rabbi Yochanan macho bekama. Did Rabbi Yochanan say anything about in front of how many a macho takes place? So we're really looking for what's Rav Yochanan's opinion on this. And the Gemara will now present a machlokas amoroim as to what Rav Yochanan holds. Two Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan, disagreeing as to what the Rebbe said. Rav Chiya bar Abba om Rav Yochanan, macho b'fnei shnayim. Rabbi Avol om Rav Yochanan, macho b'fnei shloisha. Well, what's the underlying explanation for such a machlokes? So the Gemara presents us with a suggestion. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice a new geometric form as far as this sugya is concerned, the house shape. The explanation on the side under the Mivneh heading says, Shlovim lahasbir b'machokim. These stages in the Gemara to conclude what is the basis of the machlokes, 2 verses 3. And as you can see, if you have a volume printed edition of the Shas Ozer, you'd have to turn the page. And notice on Amud Beis, more of these house forms. House forms, as well as all geometric forms, indicate a series of something. Continuing in the Gemara, Lema b'derabo baravuna ka miflagi. The word Lema introduces a question, a suggestion, that almost always in the Shas, the word Lema introduces something that will be rejected. Along with the word Lema, you find similar words like Nemo, Emo, etc. We have also noted between the Gemara and the Rashi a shin that's circled with a vertical dashed line that indicates a long, in this case the shin is a she'ela, long question going till three lines from the top on Omid Beis Lema. So can we suggest that b'derabo barav huna ko miflagi? What does Rabo Rav Huna say? Dioma Rabo Rav Huna kol milsa demis amra ve'api tlosa. Any matter that was said in front of three, less bo mishum lishna bisha. If someone says over to the subject, and we'll explain this a little more clearly momentarily, if after this piece of information was shared in front of three people, I go and convey that information to the one about whom it was said. So by my telling the subject that thusly so-and-so said about you, then the one who conveys that information is not guilty of Loshon Hara. The point being that something said in front of three, according to Rabba Rav Huna, will say only in front of three, not less. If it's said in front of three, it's certainly going to become public knowledge. So that the subject about whom the information was said will hear about it anyway, inevitably hear about it. So by my telling him, oh, so-and-so said something about you, when that information was said initially in front of three people, the person about whom it was said will hear about it anyway, that so-and-so said something about him. So as far as Rabo Rav Huna is concerned, in order to have this option, so to speak, or this kula in Dinei Loshon Hara, when is it that I, who heard this information said, can then go and tell the subject or the victim that so-and-so said this about you? I could do that if what was said by so-and-so was said in front of three people. What if it was said in front of two people? Then, as far as Rabo Rav Huna is concerned, it would not become public knowledge. Therefore, we then revert to the original Isser, Lashon Hara, or better known as Rechilus, whereby I go and convey the story and say to the victim, oh, do you know what so-and-so said about you? However, if the original, if that story was told in front of three, and I then say, oh, do you know what so-and-so said about you, then I'm not guilty of Rechilus. We're not, of course, giving license to the original speaker here to tell stories in front of people about others. That's certainly not. But once it's done, that's the issue that we're dealing with. Can I then go and tell so-and-so that such and such was said about you? So as we said, Rabba Barav Huna holds, only if the original story was told in front of three, then that would create a relaxation in this din of rechilus, of conveying stories. The Gemara goes on, Man diomar bifnei shnayim, the one who says that a macho can be recited, can be issued in front of two, and that's enough, less lay the Rabba Barav Huna. He doesn't hold from Rabba Barav Huna who said only in front of three does information become known. The shita that held two will tell you that even in front of two there's gilui milsa. Therefore, according to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who said in Rav Yochanan Macho can be in front of two, he doesn't hold from the restriction of Rabba Barav Huna, namely only in front of three. Uman diomar bifnei shlosha, that a macho is to be issued in front of three, namely Rabbi Avo, is lay the Rabba Barav Huna. He holds from Rabba Barav Huna. Notice the question mark, because this was all part of a suggestion. Should we say that the machlokis between Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Avo regarding the number in front of whom a macho said is based on either accepting or rejecting Rabba Barav Huna? The Gemara says, lo, we're not going to tie their machlokes into this din of Rabba Barav Huna. Rather, the Kulei Alma, we're about to begin stage two. As you can see, the two between the Rashi and the Gemara, stage two, trying to understand the machlokes, Amoroim 2 verses 3, as far as Macho is concerned, the Kulei Alma is lehu the Rabba Barav Huna. That Gilui Milsa, that revelation, will take place only in front of three. Vehocha beha komifligi. The machlokis here between regarding the din of macho is as follows. Mando omer bifnei shnayim kosovar macho shaloi bifonov lo havio macho. Uman domar bifnei shloisha kosovar macho shaloi bifonov havio macho. We'll first look at the second Manda Omar and then go back and explain the first Manda Omar. The second Manda Omar, just said that if he who holds three, the shita that holds you must say it in front of three, is of the opinion that a macho shelo b'fonav is a good macho. For it to be a good macho, there would have to be some form of gilui milsa, for there to be public knowledge created, and then I can rely on it getting to so-and-so. In order to create gilui milsa, you need to have three. What about the dea that holds two? So to understand that, we'll take a look at the Rashbam. There's a star that we've written into the Rashbam. And look at what he comments. Lo, de kulei almo is lehu de rabo baravuna. De kol gilui milsa lo havio de pochois mishosha. That public revelation will not be accomplished with less than three. Vi have boino gilui milsa b'macho. If we require this, make it public. Idea. Make it public. In the case of macho, hoyatzorach limchois b'fnei shlosha. Then you'd have to make the macho in front of three. Avol b'hochi pligi. Deman domar b'fnei shnayim kosover macho shelo b'fonav lo havi macho. That something that's said at a long distance isn't good. The kevon di ein macho elo b'fonav, since he requires a macho, he requires that as part of the definition of macho, it must be said in front of the occupier. It must be direct confrontation. If that be the case, then it's not important to have public revelation. There's going to be direct contact, so who cares whether the public knows about it or not? So as such, the Rashbam continues, to cave on the ein macho elo b'fonav, dai lo b'shnei edim, shi'aidu shemi chabo. It's sufficient to have two witnesses to say that the macho took place. Continuing in the Gemara, Iboyesema, dekulei almo macho sheloi befonav, havya macho. According to this third approach to understand the machlokis amoroyim 2:3, this is suggesting everyone holds that a macho sheloi befonav can be done at long distance. Vehacha beha komiflagi, man diomar bifnei shnayim. Sovar sahadusa ba'inan. The shita that held too, he holds that you need two to serve as witness that the macho took place. Uman domar b'fnei shlosha kos sovar gilui milsa ba'inan. We have a note on the inside margin. Let us take a look at what's written there. Man domar shnayim, the one who holds two, eino makpid shiyehe dafka gilui milsa. He's not concerned that there has to be public knowledge. Ho ikur shelo yehe shlilas hamacho al yedei sheomer al tagidu. The ikur concern of this shita is that there shouldn't be a negation of the macho by the protester saying, don't tell him. Therefore, two is enough. His main concern, the shita that holds two, is that there shouldn't, simply when a macho is made, there shouldn't be breaks put on it. And that's why two is enough. Uman domar shlosha, our note says, sover de dafka bo'inon gilui milsa. He holds you have to have the positive presence of Gilui Milsa, the positive public revelation. Two holds, again, that there shouldn't be a restriction on the public publicizing, even though it's not important for there to be actual publicizing, whereas three requires the positive presence of actual publicizing. Continuing in the Gemara, we notice there's a slash. This tells us that there's a full stop as far as the discussion is concerned before we start a new discussion. The topic heading on the side under Nosei, Be'eze Tadirus, with what frequency Bo'i Limchos? The Gemara inside. Gidol bar Menyumi have le mechisa limchuye. He had a macho. It was necessary for him to issue a macho. In other words, he felt that someone was using his land unjustifiably. Ashkechinu l'ravuna ulechia barav ulravchukia bartuvi davu yasvi. He noticed these three rabbonon sitting. Umocho kamayu, and he issued a protest in their presence. Lishana. A year went by. Hodar also limchuye. He came back to protest. At this point, we'll take note of the Aleph and two lines later of the Beis that appears in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos. Aleph and Beis. On the line where the Beis is found, you notice the middle of the line, a squiggle on an expression. We squiggle underlined, Ika Diamri. There are two lishonos in the Gemara that we're about to see. You also notice that there's a double underline expression. The double underline is part of the series markings. We'll note on the side the explanation here, mivneh. The double underline, or beis lishonos, two versions of what they, of what was said over here. Ha-hevdel b'neim hu b'mi omar, aval ein hevdel b'psak. The only difference is going to be who the speaker is, but there's not going to be a difference in terms of the result. At this point in the Gemara, we've heard Gidel Bar Menyumi issue his macho in front of the three gentlemen present. Then we heard him repeat it a year later. Omru lei lo tzriches, hachi omar Rav. It's not necessary for you to repeat it, because thusly said Rav, kevan shemicha, shana rishona, shuv eino tzorech limchos, that once you issued the macho the first year, there's no necessity to have it repeated. V'ikah diamri, omar le chia barav. He was one of the gentlemen present. He was the number two Rav that we saw above in the group of three. He said, kevan shemicha, shana rishayna, shuv, ein tzorech limchois. Omar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapora. We've noted Bar Kapora's name because a little bit later in the Gemara we're going to see him referred to again. Reish Lakish quotes Bar Kapora as saying, "Vitzorach Limchois Besoif Kol Shloisha V'Shloisha." And even though there might not be a necessity to repeat the Macho every year, but every group of 3 years, there must be a macho. At the end, before the 3 years finally lapses, if the original owner wants to maintain his ownership or his ability to regain ownership, he had better issue his protest by the end of each group of 3 years. Tohi bo Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, tohi means amazed. V'chi gazlon yesh loy chazaka. Does a thief gain a chazaka? The Gemara responds to Rabbi Yochanan's comment, gazlon salka daitoch. Are we talking about a thief? How we know that the machzik, the occupier, is claiming that he has a shtar. So why do you call him a thief? Ella, what Rabbi Yochanan was trying to say is kegazlon, the chof being emphasized, kegazlon, yeshlo chazaka. To understand what's going on right now in the Gemara, as far as Rabbi Yochanan's wonderment, let us take a look at the Rashbam. He's found in the wide section toward the lower part of the page. V'chigazlon yeshlo chazaka kloimar. Amay tzorech limchois besoiv kol shloisha. V'halo mishemicha hama'ar shana rishona v'hotzi koil al zeh shehu gazlan. After the first macho took place, created a public awareness that in the eyes of the protester, this guy is a thief. Hoya lo lizer b'shtar kol hayomim. He should have been served notice to watch his shtar forever. Ad sheyeredim ze ledin, o ad sheyare es shtoro achar hamachol bebeizdin. When we said forever, it means until they actually go to fight it out in court, or that the occupier would show his document of sale after the machol was issued to a bezdin. Umidelo nizar b'shtoro yafsi. If he didn't watch his shtar, let him lose. De'iko lameimar gazlan hu. There's room to think that maybe he's a thief. Vainu de kapara gazlan saka daidach. Then the Gemara asked, what do you mean gazlan? Ha kotoyin shtar hoyoli koidim ha-macho v'ovad. He's claiming he had a shtar before the macho, and it got lost. U misfeka hu danan mafsidin oso esakarka l'fishalo nizar b'shtara. that we're end up, that we end up causing him to lose possession, it's only out of a suffix. Eloimo kigazlan. Rather, someone that is suspect of gazlonus, but not to call him an actual gazlan. Needless to say, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara, that once a macha is made, lefi Rabbi Yochanan, once is enough forever, so to speak. You don't have to repeat it every 3 years. That one time should have served notice that he is, that the occupier is suspect. He's suspect in the eyes of the original owner, and he had better watch his shtar. Omar Rava, Hilchasa, Tzorach Limchois, Besoif Kol Shloisha Ushloisha. So Rava rules like Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara. Tani Bar Kapara. Ir Er. Chazar V'ir Er. Chazar V'ir Er. We're describing protest being issued at the end of each group of 3 years. This, of course, is along the lines of Bar Kapora's din, as quoted by Reish Lakish. And hence, a few moments ago, we mentioned when we initially saw Bar Kapora, why we had underlined his name, because he would be referred to later, and that's over here. However, in the Bar Kapora source, as you could see, it's framed off. It's considered part of Tanaic literature. He qualifies the din as follows. Im machmas taina rishona ir er, ein lo chazaka. If the original protest is repeated each time, the same thing is repeated each time, That is a powerful macha that will stop the occupier, prevent him from gaining a chazaka. However, v'im lav, if a new story is heard each time, the protester protests, but each time he changes the story behind his protest, then it's not a serious protest. It's not viewed seriously, certainly not by the occupier, and yesh loy chazaka. We'll take a look at the Rashbam toward the lower part of the page. Im machmas taina rishona irer, de bekulu machos toin ka'ochel aroi begazlanus. And each protest issued after 3 years, before the end of the 3 years, he says, oh, so-and-so is consuming my land in theft. Hare zu macho vilkach ein lo chazok ala machzik. That's considered a sufficient protest, and the occupier doesn't gain thereby his chazaka. Aval im b'machor rishona hiskir shebegazlonus yarad el sadezu u'b'machor shnia hiskir ki mashkanta biyado v'ani mosir lechem eduzu kedei shelo yachzik bo v'yoymar mechurahi biyadi. First round, he says, and we have that double underline, that he's a thief. The second time around, he says, no, the guy possessing the land was a lender to me, and he has it only as collateral, and I just don't want him to claim that he bought it. The Rashbam continues, Kevon Shishino Betanoso, Eino Macho, Veniskaimo Hachazoka V'yad Hamachzik. We'll continue with this Gemara next time, with a new topic. At this point, we conclude our shiur for today.